Dr. Outlaw, how do the reference prices developed for the package last fall compare to the cost of productions on the farms that your folks study?
It's my understanding that those reference prices are very, very close. I think that the I provided the staff some of our cost information, and I know they used some of the USDA cost information as well as about 25 years of previous year target prices, so that those relationships could try to maintain the same relationships. There's a lot of discussion on when you say the word target price, people always say that theirs is low relative to their other commodities. And so in developing those, I know they use some historical relationships to try to keep them approximately the same, and then cost of production to try to move those up when those historical relationships were not appropriate anymore.
Do you agree with those who say that these prices would drive planning decisions?
No, and that's probably the one question I've gotten more often than any other question, this farm bill is that one. And it all goes back to, if you have a target price set, what I would call fairly, where there's not a profit guaranteed, then, and because of the mechanism of how those things get paid, and they're paid on countercyclical payment acres, those yields are lower for most crops than their average yield would be, and there's a payment fraction in there, they're not going to get that level of protection. They're going to get something less. And so you're already talking about setting it below the cost of production, and then they're going to get less than that. All it is the deep loss coverage that I think most of you are talking about. All it would provide is when things go really bad, there's going to be a payment to help them stay in business. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Dr. Outlaw, I've said from the beginning that we have to craft policies that work for all commodities in all regions, and many have expressed concern that the Senate Ag Committee passed bill shifts baseline from one commodity to another, from one region to another. In other words, the Senate bill picks winners and losers. Give me your thoughts on that statement.
Based
on the analysis you've done so far, the information
based on our analysis, when you pay most of the new programs that have been discussed would be paying on planted acres, and when you move to paying on planted acres, you're going to increase the amount of money paid to corn and soybeans producers in this country. And so that will be moving that money that way. Each commodity ought to have an opportunity to stay in business if there is a loss. And the way the Senate plan is crafted right now, I can't say that they can.
Thank you. Dr. Collins, I know much of the growth and the success of crop insurance came over the years during your tenure as chief economist at USDA, and thank you for that, for the success of the program. And you acknowledge that crop insurance is not yet working as it should for some crops and regions. Given our current budget constraints, the reality we deal with in the United States House, what do you think are the most significant things we should consider that would improve crop insurance for those crops and those regions that have, in effect, fallen behind?
Well, thank you, Mr. Lucas, for your acknowledgement. I appreciate that. This issue about whether crop insurance works or not is a phrase you hear a lot in this discussion about supplemental programs. And usually that refers to the fact that either coverage is low or the coverage level is low in certain crops or certain regions of the country. I would just first say that that doesn't necessarily mean that crop insurance is not working and is not a problem, because sometimes producers face risks that are not in a crop insurance policy, to be covered by a crop insurance policy. And also producers have alternative ways to protect themselves, and so it can be a rational choice to participate at a low level in crop insurance. You can look at some of the southern states. Arkansas, 80% of crop production there is irrigated. Yield is not the risk that it is in other states. And if you've got protection, such as we've just been discussing with target price protection, direct payment protection, so you've got some price protection already, and therefore you don't necessarily need to buy high levels of crop insurance coverage. So there's not necessarily a failure of crop insurance in those instances. However, having said that, we can look at particular risks that aren't well covered by crop insurance. Rice has already been mentioned by Mr. Peterson, where we have the lodging issue. We have concern over input costs. They're working on a lodging endorsement, a margin product. That's a difficult product to develop. I know from my own work in cost of production insurance, but I have hope that that will happen and that will help. Peanut producers want a revenue product, and they've already started themselves the path toward achieving a revenue product. So I think that will help participation. Specialty crops are another matter altogether because they represent small acreages. Sometimes pricing is not transparent. There's a lot of cultural practice issues that make underwriting standards difficult. And so there's a lot of work that probably still needs to be done in that area. But I think the 508H approval process and RMA's ability to produce products is the right way to go. I think we have a good product development program right now. We have 7 new products, for example, coming online in 2012. And so I don't think that that Congress needs to specify lots of new products that need to be developed by the Risk Management Agency. I think the existing process for product development is working and continue to work, but it's a slow process.
So you believe inevitably it is possible to overcome these challenges, but there are real challenges at the present time in a number of groups and areas.
There are real challenges, but and the record has shown they have been overcome over time. You can even look at specialty crops, where we have over 70% of the acreage of specialty crops participating in crop insurance. So crop insurance has been a success in new product development, but more work needs to be done.